Nope. Seen it. Oh, nah.
Can't find something to watch? Introducing Sky Stream. It's Sky without the dish. Watch unmissable Sky exclusives like The Regime and Netflix too, all over super reliable Sky full fibre broadband. Get Sky Stream, Sky Broadband and Netflix for just €50 a month. Search Sky Stream. Availability subject location. New customers only. 12-month minimum term. Stream and broadband sold separately. Further terms apply. For more info, see sky.ie/speeds.
On this week's Big Tech Show, how will the latest developments in artificial intelligence affect your life? Will you get new powerful personal assistants? Are you in danger of something terrible happening? We explain what's going on.
Just a couple of weeks ago, Anthropic, which is OpenAI competitor, their startup lab, actually founded by former OpenAI employees, they actually eclipsed GPT-4 only just a couple of weeks ago with their latest model, and the internet went crazy. This is just better than GPT-4 at everything. So OpenAI had to respond to that.
The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
On the latest episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry, I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Ava Orsmond, telling all things life lessons.
People often say to me when they come to my clinics, and now especially when they come to the hotel, they are like, you know, Ava, you are not the persona you the TV have, you know, made you to be. And actually, sometimes I'm thinking, my God, that's terribly sad that there is that negative. There's some people who absolutely don't like me because what they saw in television.
As ever, it's available on all podcast platforms.
We all know that there are guilty people who perpetrated unspeakable acts of terrorism. But there are innocent men, women and children who are suffering for those sins, and they should not be subject to collective punishment. The cries of the innocent will haunt us forever if we stay silent. No child ever gave their consent for acts of terrorism in Ireland or Israel or anywhere else, and no child should ever be punished for them.
Taoiseach Leo Varadkar hasn't pulled his punches in the early part of his US tour for St. Patrick's Day, making Ireland's position on the situation in Gaza abundantly clear. Boston, the spiritual home of the Irish away from home, played host, allowing Varadkar to test the waters as he challenged the official American view on the Israeli bombardment.
A draft resolution at the United Nations Security Council calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza was vetoed by the United States on Tuesday.
Those against?
It was the third such veto since the start of the Israel-Hamas war.
Now all eyes will be on Varadkar to see if he will be as direct and outspoken when he meets President Biden in the White House. While there'll be much paddywhackery around the annual presentation of a bowl of shamrock, the pressure is on the Irish delegation this year to raise the plight of the Palestinians in the strongest way possible. I'm Kevin Doyle, and today on the Indo Daily, I'm joined from Boston by political editor of the Irish Independent, Philip Ryan, to preview one of the most anticipated meetings between a Taoiseach and the US president in recent years. Is Capitol Hill ready and willing to listen to calls for a change in their Israeli policy? Or is the Irish voice just too small to make a difference?
Distinguished guests, the President of the United States, accompanied by the Taoiseach of Ireland.
Whoa! Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Philip, you're in Boston, soon to head to Washington, along with Leo Varadkar, who's over there for the St. Patrick's Day festivities. How's the Taoiseach been getting on so far?
Yeah, he arrived a little late into Boston. I think he missed one of his first events. He was supposed to meet the governor of Massachusetts, and that didn't go ahead. But he did arrive on time and took part in an event in the John F. Kennedy Library and Museum here in Boston, where he spoke to a largely American audience, which included Joe Kennedy III, who is currently a congressman, and as well as that, JFK's own grandson, Jack, was also there. It was an interesting event, and I think the speech he made was probably the most interesting moment of the trip so far.
If we're not consistent, if we do not see and respect the equal value of a child of Israel and a child of Palestine, then the rest of the world will not listen to us when we call on them to stand by the rules and institutions that are the bedrock of the civilized world.
Well, that's what I want to ask you about, whether that set the tone, because in my experience, and this isn't your first time on one of these trips either, there generally is a topic that the Taoiseach of the day is focused on in terms of, this is what you have to ask the American president about when you get in the Oval Office. And I think this year there is no doubt that that topic is what is happening in the Middle East with Israel and Palestine. Has the Taoiseach set out his position on that in this opening speech?
I think he did. And I think it's fair to say that there's two topics. I think Ukraine is certainly a big topic as well still, because there is this issue here in the States about funding for the war efforts over in Ukraine. But the main theme of the event was certainly the Middle East and was certainly the war in Gaza. The pressure on the Taoiseach is to outline and highlight the concerns of the Irish public and his own concerns as well. The Irish government have been quite forward throughout this war in putting forward a view and being kind of, not being afraid to be an outlier and calling out some of the atrocities that are being carried out by Israel. And of course, as everybody knows, Israel is hugely supported financially and military-wise by the United States, by Joe Biden, and there's no end in sight for that.
There's never justification for terrorist attacks. And my administration's support for Israel's security is rock solid and unwavering. Let me say this as clearly as I can. This is not a moment for any party hostile to Israel to exploit these attacks to seek advantage. The world is watching.
So that's the context to the Taoiseach's speech, where he was very strong in his comments. He very much focused on the children of Gaza, and he was trying to pull on the heartstrings, let's say, of an American audience and really hit home the impact of this war that maybe they don't all see it from our point of view. You know, like they do see it as Israel have a right to defend themselves and what Hamas did on October 7th, which the Taoiseach also very clearly called out and called it wrong and should never be forgiven.
Now, what he does in Boston is effectively a dress rehearsal for what he'll do in the next few days in Washington. And as you say, Philip, the American view of what is happening in Israel and Gaza at the moment, it's a bit different from what we have here in Ireland. There is a lot more sympathy for Israel. So what kind of a reaction did he get in the room?
I think it went down well. No one was jumping up or complaining afterwards. It's very much from speaking to the Taoiseach's team, the strategy behind coming out and doing this straight out the blocks is to kind of lay the groundwork, let the White House know, give them a flavour of what's going to happen later in the week. So it's not Joe Biden standing on stage with the Taoiseach in the White House East Room on Sunday, St. Patrick's Day, and suddenly he starts talking about Gaza. But you're going to hear the same rhetoric throughout the week on both Palestine and the issue in Ukraine, because that is something that he's clearly been sent over with some form of writing instructions from his European counterparts about, really impress this on the Americans that if the world is to take on Vladimir Putin and stop him, it has to be done as a group. It can't be just left to Europe. And America very much needs to play its role. It can't just dry up overnight.
Now, the headlines back at home, Philip, were probably taken up in this same space, but by the president rather than the Taoiseach, because he released a very combative statement on Gaza from Áras an Uachtaráin this week. Remind us of what he said and I suppose the impact that would have. I feel like himself and Leo Varadkar are politicians of very different ilk, but on this issue, they seem very closely aligned.
Yeah, it's interesting, all right. And you'd wonder if it was timed or whether the president actually gazumped the Taoiseach by putting out his statement, essentially alleging a conspiracy against the United Nations and UNRWA by unmentioned forces, it has to be said, suggesting that there is this propaganda campaign about the allegations which came from the Israeli Defense Forces about members of UNRWA who were alleged to have been involved in the October 7th attacks. A number of employees were let go from the agency, but more importantly, beyond that, was all the money, America included, pulled the millions upon millions, hundreds of millions they give to this agency. We've yet to see some concrete evidence from the Israelis about what these employees who were alleged to have been involved in the attacks.
It's interesting, Philip, that while the US and the UK, who traditionally we kind of follow on these things, while they both pulled their funding for UNRWA, Ireland was giving an extra 20 million.
Ireland's support remains steadfast, and I'm happy today to announce funding of 20 million euro for UNRWA for its operations in 2024.
We'll talk about Joe Biden in a minute, but Leo Varadkar also has to go to Capitol Hill, and I feel that's where he might be more challenged, because Joe Biden will roll out the red carpet, shake hands, do a bit of paddywhackery. But on Capitol Hill, there'll be, I guess this message may not be as welcome.
Yeah, look, Joe Biden will also have a direct bilateral conversation with the Taoiseach and his team about these issues away from the cameras, where you can be sure that this issue will be pressed home. But like you said, yes, there's a lot of resistance, especially from the Republican side of Capitol Hill. The aid to the Ukraine was blocked. The decision to pull funding from UNRWA is supported in many cases by many congressmen and senators. I'm not sure how they will react to Taoiseach from Ireland coming over and lecturing them on how to spend billions upon billions of euros of US taxpayers' money. But at the same time, it is comments that they need to hear. They need to get this other view put to them. They need to have that highlighted. It'll probably get mentioned on the world stage. But will it change anything? It's hard to know.
How do you think Leo Varadkar will approach that meeting with Biden then? Obviously, there will be a conversation behind closed doors. Usually what happens is then we get pictures and maybe a few words of the two of them in the Oval Office. And then later in the evening, there's usually a party. So I presume that's all happening in its normal way.
This year, it's actually the meeting, the bilateral meeting is happening on the Friday. So that'll be the event where they sit down in the Oval Office, all their advisors, they chat these things out. But then on Sunday is when you're going to have the Shamrock Ceremony, where it's Leo on stage with Joe Biden making a statement. And that's when you might see the stronger of the comments during the week.
You wrote a really good piece looking back at Enda Kenny's first meeting. Was it his first and last meeting with Donald Trump, as it turned out?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, it was only weeks before he eventually stepped down, really.
And he managed to go viral. Remind us about that, because I think this is important in terms of the kind of situation that Leo Varadkar is going to find himself in, albeit with a very different president.
Yeah, look, the context to that was at a time when Trump had come in, he got in on this platform of shutting down the American border, stop people coming in. He introduced what was widely called the Muslim ban, where he stopped allowing people fly into the United States from certain countries. There was even some wondering and humming and hawing, would he even go ahead with the St. Patrick's Day ceremony? But he did, and he invited Enda Kenny over. During the event, the Shamrock Ceremony, he took to the stage and he had his written speech. It was nuanced in the way he said it.
And it's fitting that we gather here each year to celebrate St. Patrick and his legacy. He too, of course, was an immigrant. And though he is, of course, the patron saint of Ireland for many people around the globe, he's also a symbol of, indeed, the patron of immigrants. Ireland came to America because, deprived of liberty, deprived of opportunity, of safety, of even food itself, the Irish believed. And 4 decades before Lady Liberty lifted her lamp, we were the wretched refuse on the teeming shore.
It kind of totally passed Donald Trump by. He was smiling and
nodding along. Like, I watched it back. It's like, are you listening to what he's saying there, Donald?
I don't think he was. And if he was, he certainly didn't grasp what was being said, because there was no outright, Mr. President, you need to cop on, or Mr. President, you need to change your policies. But anyone that had half an understanding of history could see what Enda Kenny was doing. Enda's team at the time felt that we in the Irish press corps didn't give him enough kudos for it. But there was a Channel 4 had a clip of it that they had put, I think, on Twitter, and it went absolutely viral and was watched millions of times around the world. So while Enda Kenny was in trouble with his own party, he had kind of almost become a global superstar for a few hours.
Yeah, and it was quite nuanced the way he did it, that he was able to stand there and essentially lecture Trump about immigration without Trump even realising that he was being lectured. So it was quite a big moment, and I think that's in maybe in Leo Varadkar's mind as he goes to the White House this year.
Well, that's what I want to ask you. You mentioned emotional intelligence there. Leo Varadkar, I think, will be expected to say something publicly in front of Biden around the situation in Gaza and how America has approached it to now. They've got to the point of calling for a ceasefire, but I think it's not necessarily as black and white as that. So that emotional intelligence thing, is this politics from Leo Varadkar, or is there real emotion? Because I think Enda Kenny's strongest point in all of that was that you believed him when he was saying it.
I think the Irish government, which is headed by Leo Varadkar, has, as I said earlier, been an outlier in that it hasn't been afraid to tackle this issue around Gaza. We have had one of the first parliaments in the world to vote in favour of a ceasefire in the region. Leo Varadkar has been constantly pushing his European counterparts to come together and call for a ceasefire. He even took the unusual approach of writing to European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, along with Pedro Sanchez, the Prime Minister of Spain, questioning whether certain trade agreements with Israel should even still exist or should be reviewed in the context of the war. This isn't something that I think he's just outwardly politicking on. He has shown leadership on this on the world stage and on a local stage. I think it's genuine, his concerns about it. I read his speech at the Kennedy Library prior to him delivering it, and it was quite strong. You read it, it was like, oh, they are pretty tough remarks. But his speech delivery can be quite, how would you say it, one-dimensional. He doesn't
lacking
put a huge amount of emotion.
Yeah,
he doesn't put a lot of chutzpah, whatever you want to call it, into his speeches. And look, maybe it's a style of delivery. It gets listened to a bit more carefully. But that would be the only thing I think that might be worth some consideration ahead of the Shamrock ceremony in the White House.
And I suppose, Philip, he knows that he's on safe territory here from an Irish perspective. We've seen the huge crowds at the pro-Palestinian rallies around the country. We know that there's a huge movement within the musicians and artists and sport who pretty much back the government's position on this when they don't often back the government on anything.
The Irish public has very much shown how they feel about this issue. It has really struck a chord. There's always been that kind of link between Ireland and Palestine. The Irish Parliament has always been very strong, and whether it's opposition or government parties, that they've always pushed and highlighted this issue long before October 7th. But we shouldn't forget about what Hamas did, and they are a terrorist organisation, and what they did was a terrorist attack on a sovereign nation. And Israel does have a right to defend themselves for that, but what they have done has just gone over the top. Like, they're just showing no regard for innocent lives. The idea of collateral damage is gone beyond the pale. Now, I know some of the more activist-driven politicians and artists and things like that probably don't like to give Leo Varadkar his kudos for, and Micheál Martin, of course, and Eamon Ryan and others, their kudos for how they have tackled this and tried to use their positions to highlight the issues. But in the long run, they're the ones who can look face to face with the other world leaders and make the case. It's great to make a stand, put on a T-shirt on the Late Late Show, or pull out of a gig. It's good to highlight the issue that way, but it doesn't really have the impact that maybe world leaders sitting in a room and kind of trying to trash out the issues can do.
30,000 Palestinians have been murdered by American weapons, and mostly two-thirds of them women and children. So I think we just have to, that's why we feel, use this platform as an opportunity to appeal to Irish people to attend rallies and protests and to support the BDS movement, to show solidarity to Palestine, and hopefully one day the Palestine will be free.
You're obviously referencing NECAP there, who've pulled out of the South by Southwest Festival in Texas, where they were due to play because they were concerns around the festival's sponsorship being linked to US weapons manufacturers. Gavin James, Mick Flannery, Soda Blondes, Prince, loads of other artists from Ireland all starting to pull out of that as well. We've heard loads of calls for boycotting of the Eurovision Song Contest, for where Bambi Tug is due to represent us if Israel are allowed to take part. We've seen other stuff, Philip, of course, in sport. The Dublin footballer Michael Dara McCauley has led a kind of a campaign around that, and the Bohemians women seems arranging a friendly with Palestine. There's lots going on aside from the politics, but I suppose my final question is to you, with all of that, the public support for a ceasefire, the world of arts and culture pushing very heavily and using their platform, and now Leo Varadkar in the White House pushing that same message, can Ireland actually make any real difference in what is happening here, or have we got a kind of an inflated sense of self-importance just because we were probably one of the first countries in the world to shout stop?
While Leo Varadkar here, Joe Biden's not going to suddenly turn around and go, oh my God, that's a great idea. Maybe I should stop funding Israeli armed forces. But he is over here as the leader of Ireland, but also as the leader of an EU member state. And while he's a member of the EU member state, like, that is a big block of people. And he has used his position within the European Union to try use the clout he has there and to push for a ceasefire. Now, that hasn't been entirely possible at the moment. You're dealing with some big players like Germany who have been resistant. And, of course, Viktor Orban over in Hungary. So there is issues like that at hand as well. But you are representing the bloc, and the bloc does have a bit of sway. It's funding the war in Ukraine. It's trying to move towards a position on Gaza. It has to be said, and it's fair to say, that it's kind of losing credibility by giving such amount of support to Ukraine and not giving the same level of support to the people of Gaza. But there is that context when he is in the White House as well. He is the Taoiseach of Ireland, but he is also a representative of the 26 member states. So there is that, and he can pass on the views of others. He's in touch with other leaders in Europe. These guys are running the continent, so they can come together and find these shared positions to try get the end goal.
My thanks to Philip Ryan, and you can read his reporting from the Taoiseach's trip to Washington on the Irish Independent website and in print over the coming days. I'm Kevin Doyle, and today's episode of the Indo Daily was produced by Garrett Mulhall, researched by Dave Hanratty, with sound by Rory Bones. Archive clips were from Reuters, BBC News, Channel 4 News, CBS News, Fox News, C-SPAN, The Late Late Show, and the Irish Independent. If you enjoy the Indo Daily, don't forget to follow the podcast and leave us a review.
No. Nope. Seen it. Oh, nah.
Can't find something to watch? Introducing Sky Stream. It's Sky without the dish. Watch unmissable Sky exclusives like The Regime and Netflix too. All over super reliable Sky full fibre broadband. Get Sky Stream, Sky Broadband and Netflix for just €50 a month. Search Sky Stream. Availability subject to location. New customers only. 12-month minimum term. Stream and broadband sold separately. Further terms apply. For more info, see sky.ie/speeds.